Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Looking at generational wealth transfer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's read from Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22. I'm going to be very fast, so you also have to be there with me. A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you will breathe upon your word. Let your word find us this morning. Let it change us from within. Let it help us in our relationship with you and with our fellow neighbors. And we ask for grace to embrace that which is written, that we may become that which you have spoken. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. In the same scripture, in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 14, the word of the Lord says, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life, and to depart from the snares of death." That means that when God speaks, his words are words of wisdom. When God is instructing you in the way you should go, it's because those words are able to deliver you from destruction. They are words of that deliver you from the snare. The word snare there is like a trap. So you will not see where that problem is coming from. But if you order your life in a particular way before the Lord, there are certain things that will be, the devil will find very, very difficult to get into your space, because you live your life in a particular way. You see, you are not trying to be confused. Your WhatsApp status is not confused. You are not clubbing on one page and then speaking in tongues on another page. You know, so we know your address. Do you know what I'm saying? We know your address. You are not hippie and spiritual at the same time. You are just who you are. You are a straight jacket. Okay? So the law of the wise delivers from the snare of death. That means through wisdom, the Lord delivers us from the snare of death. That means the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. When I listen to the word of God, I should always look for that which pertains to wisdom. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 1, that I think it should be verse 5, where it says, "The wise will hear and increase learning." You see, the wise, if we want to know a wise man, is always learning. He's always increasing his capacity, both spiritually and in every area of his life. So this is a very beautiful scripture here. And just below that, in verse 22, we are read earlier, where the word of God says, "A good man leaves inheritance for his children's children." So this is the word of the Lord. This is God's plan and intention for you, that when you are gone, you leave inheritance. And please, for the sake of what it's worth, inheritance is not really money. So money is just one of the side attractions of inheritance. Okay? Why why do people cry so much when their father dies? You know, your father dies, you cry. "I remember I cried. But looking back now, I'm not really sure why I cried. Maybe because I'm going to miss him. But on the other hand, like, how are we going to go to school? Amen. So it's, people cry so hard. But if your father had left you 500 million naira or half a, let's say $1 billion, and says, okay, it's already there. So you would cry, and then you take heart. Say, "Daddy has gone to be with the Lord. Yeah, we are not orphans. Our father is alive." When you start hearing some things, you know that there's something the man has left. But when you begin to hear certain things, like, "Oh, why have you left us like this? Why have you abandoned us?" Then you know that you are now on your own. So the Bible says and encourages us as men to be good men. Pastor David, you may be spiritual, but you may not be a good man. Because the good man, as defined by scripture, is a man that does what? Leaves inheritance for what? That means it does not really mean that you would just leave, you know, items for your children to inherit. It means you set a structure. you set a system in place that ensures that if your children continue to serve your God, they have no other end but prosperity. Is somebody listening to me? So get out of the salary mode. Get out of the work mode. We are talking about generational blessing here. Hallelujah. Come on, talk to me. Hallelujah. I say we are talking about what? Generational blessing. So you have to think out of salary and freebies. We are thinking about you having the next 20 years of your life building systems that will make it difficult for your grandchildren to change their name. Because some people are very angry. They don't say, I don't like that name. I just change it. My name is now Daniels. Daniels. Say, Pastor Benga Daniels. Hey, does it? It's because your father's name is not important. Even if your father's name is Eshubi, that means Satan has given birth to this. Even if that's the meaning of your father's name. But the fact that that name can open doors for you. You will say this issue is heavenly issue. It's not that other one, you know. Because the man you say Eshubi, you say which one? Oh, the chief Eshubi. Oh, come. But you've changed your name to Dan. You say Dan, tell him I'm not around. So for those of you who want to change your name, don't worry, I got you and I understand. You know, so the rich man, a good man, leaves what? Inheritance. He doesn't leave money, he leaves inheritance. Inheritance is, and I'm going to show you a scripture. I've taught from it, but I want you to see something else there this morning. So inheritance is that which you do not work for. Is that which has been prepared up for you. It is a type of life. It is a system of living. It is how to remain and to increase on every side, regardless of the debt of your patriarch. And I speak not just naturally but spiritually here. And please, I want you to hear me. As I speak to you this morning, I want you to take away a poverty mindset from your life today completely. Do not believe there's anything you cannot use. Do not believe there's anything you cannot buy. Do not believe there's anywhere you cannot go. Take that mindset. It's going to take a while depending on where you are coming from. But start now. Tell your neighbor, start now. We are going to remove that poverty mindset. Because what you don't know is that being poverty minded affects your creativity. You think it's about money? No. It's about hindering you from becoming your best in God. So you just find that somewhere in your life, you are always thinking salary. And let me tell you, nobody will ever pay you what you deserve. You need inheritance. Do you know what inheritance is? That which you do what you go out, you do what you have to do. Because that's where the Lord has put you. Not because you will die if they don't pay your salary. Because God is bringing us to a season of wealth. Amen? Amen? God is bringing us to a season of wealth. And if you are not saying amen, I don't know why you have a covenant with poverty. God, I don't have a covenant with poverty. I've tasted both, and I know the one I don't like. Poverty is synonymous with sin and death. Because there are many people who died who would have been alive if there was money. There was a brother that lived in the boys' quarters of my building. And he had a crisis, his SS. It was the boy who taught me how to drive. He's I call him trailer driver, truck driver. So I didn't learn from the regular guys. He took me to the top of there and said, drive down. I said, I will die. He said, die. You know, I'm just a 1 day old in this driving business. He said, drive. He said, a thief could be pursuing you tomorrow. Drive. The guy just sat calmly. It was later I realized he had his hands on the handbrake. Let me not train you there. You come and break my own leg. I beg. Let me hold the handbrakes before the useless man will kill me. He had a crisis. By the time I got home, he's Muslim. By the time I got home, I saw them praying and sprinkling water they brought from one imam. On his head, he was drinking. This man is dying. God gave us doctors for a reason. Huh? Some of you preach divine healing, but thank God for doctors. You would have been dead. You even have time to be talking about divine health now. So doctors are your friends. I don't like doctors, but they are our friends. Praise God. Uh-huh. So you preach your divine healing because you are alive. I cannot be sick. It's because you are alive. If you are dead, you won't need to tell us all those things. The doctor is your friend. But their report is not the last report. Come on now. I said their report is not the end. Jesus owes the final. So they took him to the hospital. They were sprinkling and praying over his head. And then I got there and I said, what's the problem? They said, I said, okay, let's move him to a good hospital. Just by changing the hospital, and I got there, how much is your, I think there's something you pay, deposit. I paid the money. I told Pastor Desmond, wait with them. I'm going back to the office. The moment the doctor saw money, they started treating him, and he started recovering. It's not by giving someone water and putting something on his head. You may tie a hijab or turban. He will die. You understand? He will die because this is a medical problem. He has a crisis. May you not be stranded. I prophesy you will not be stranded. You will not find yourself in any situation. And you will look up like, oh my God, what is this? For everything that the Lord will cause you, challenges, trials, it will give you a way of escape. In the name of Jesus. Come on, declare I'm a good man. If you're a woman, declare I'm a good woman. Now, you need to understand what we are saying. Because the moment you declare it, what you are saying is that you have lined up yourself to leave inheritance, not just for your children, but your children's children. Come on, say amen. Amen. So you have to believe it. Now, somebody may want to tell you, oh, you know, Christianity is not about being prosperous. What is it about? If Christianity was only for poor people, will you be a Christian? People say things they are not sincere. They try to associate being righteous with our salvation, with being broke and poor. Do you notice how most people in Nigeria or in Lagos look older than their age? Do you notice it? You're on the road, just like, ah, this man. And they tell you their age. The man is 38. He looks 48. It is good news. The gospel is good news. Jesus says his plan for you is not only to live your life so well here. By the time you are gone, oh, your children are so proud that you are their father. Their grandchildren, your grandchildren will grow up hearing your name. Come on, say amen. Amen. That means you touched lives. You lived righteously. Your children cannot afford not to be Christians. Come on now. Now, if you are not born again and you are in this meeting, I don't know why you should just get born again right there. Because this, where you are seated, just tell Jesus, come into my life. Because this promise is for those who follow the scriptures. See, a good man will live. It's a promise. God will ensure. You're a good man. You have a good heart. You will live. You will not only be a blessing to nations, you will live enough for your children's children. Your amen is low. Look at what that scripture said. It says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for who? The word just is the word righteous man. God says if a man embraces the life of sin, whatever he has eventually will be calculated and will be wired to somebody who has chosen to live for God. You have to understand how God is being deliberate in his words here. You can't fight him. God said it. He said the word of the sinner. A man who chooses to embrace a life of sin. A man that has no regard for God. Eventually, that which he has will find his way back into the hands of a man who loves God. Are you hearing me this morning? So while he's accumulating the money, God says he's laying it up. So if God wants to transfer that money, just like David, he will place a David beside a Saul and give a Saul a problem only a David can solve. Come on now. Your skill and your expertise become the tube, the channel for transfer. Your skill and your enterprise, your expertise become the tool through which God will move debit that account and credit your own. Now, there's a generation that is known as the baby boomer generation. Have you heard of them? 1950s, 1960s, 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. Baby boomer. I think maybe that means they had a lot of babies or something. So they were booming. 1 billion. Boom. Billion. They gave birth to lots of babies. They were trying out many things. And it led to many babies. Do you understand? Many babies. Everybody was having babies. Those were even the days of the Beatles. There was a music band known as the Beatles. They travel around. They even say they despise Jesus Christ. I think one of them is flying a car somewhere in the U.S. now. I don't know. So that period was marked with immoral lifestyles. Baby boomers. But that period was also marked by something. The wealth. Because what I need you to appreciate here is that it seems per every season, the wealth begins to move from generation to generation. That baby boomer generation, they invested in primarily areas of real estate. That generation, when they grew up, I think that is probably generation of Warren Buffet, 1946. So I think some of our oldies now, many of them in the U.S., and I'm speaking specifically about the U.S., many of them were born in that generation. They are about 70 years now, between 60s and 70s. So you have the Warren Buffets, some of the oldies, and some of those guys. They invested in real estate. They invested in equity, corporate equity. And forget about the language. I just mean stock. They invested in stock. They buy shares. They did a lot of investments. Now, I was looking at the website of the Federal Reserve Bank in the U.S. You know the Federal Reserve Bank? That's like their central bank. So you can check that one. Don't bother about the one here because they are going for elections. But you can check. Those ones are doing business. So they have all this data. Are you with me? They have all this data of how wealth has moved from the baby boomer generation to the millennials. Millennials are those born from 1981 to 1996 or thereabout. Then we also have the Gen those are the ones that can be, if they have on their WhatsApp status, they can, you people have to forgive me. Sorry, these younger ones now, what's their, is it Gen Z? This Gen Z. Hello, hold on, no, I'm going somewhere, okay, I don't want problem. Because very soon, Instablog Ninja will carry me now. Okay. The generation after, God, I told myself I'll be very nice today. Because after the service on Friday, I asked myself, who are you fighting? You know, I fought everybody, fought myself, fought, you know, so I didn't listen to the message. I just went to sleep. So I said, today, I will compensate all of you. You know. So Gen after the millennials, we have the Gen X. The Gen X are the ones before Gen Z. Gen Z, they are the ones that can be doing like that boy that does his hand like this. You know, whatever his name is. You know, like Kingdom Area Boys. They like some kind of songs. Doing their hand like this. And be twisting their legs. Those are Gen Z. Gen X, if you are born 96, 97, ahead, you are in that category. But this Gen Z, we don't even know what they will give birth to yet. But the signs we are seeing is not very good. So, but they are the people God sent me to pastor, so I have to be careful so that I will not pursue them from church. Now, Baby boomers invested in real estate. Please pay attention. They invested in real estate. They invested in stocks, corporate equities. They got involved in production. And let me give you some statistics. Up to now, as at this year, the baby boomers, that generation, still control 43.2% of the wealth of America. I said up to now. That generation, 1940s, 50s, 60s, now you can begin to imagine the people in that generation, like Warren Buffett. Who else is there? Some of those old guys in the U.S. You have some of them very quiet, but they are very rich. They are in oil. When did Rockefeller, what was that his name? When did he die? John, Rothschild. Okay, yeah, that's the, exactly, that's the company, right? The name of the family. So, okay, so, you don't have any Nigerian in that category anyway, but just understand what I'm saying. You have some of these very big guys up till now in the United States. They control 43%, over 43% of the wealth of America. Currently, the millennials, those of us who are, you know, trying to try, you know, control 12%. You know why? It seems that with every new generation that comes, we talk more, but we act less. If, for instance, you start a bakery or a gas business, you start some, and then you notice things are not moving well, then you shut down. It's your generation that is talking. Go and ask some of these other guys. And some of them in the U.S., many of them were Christians. They are still Christians, they have this money. There's this guy, Chika Phil or something, I don't know. Pastor David, you are the one that liked all those eateries. There's this guy. Is that, I'm talking about the company. That's the guy's name. Chick-fil-A. Now, this particular guy is a born-again Christian not in Naira. He's a millionaire. But he doesn't open his shop on Sundays. Everybody should go to church. We have believers, just the way unbelievers are using these principles and it's benefiting them. Believers are using the same principles and it's benefiting them. But this guy consecrates a day and he says he will not open any of his shopping malls or supermarkets or fast food restaurants. And he goes to church. Everybody in his office must go to church. But he's still rich. So you need to, when the Bible says a good man, you need to look at the character of what God considers a good man. The way that man uses his time is one of the things you look at. Are you with me now? I say how a good man uses his time. A good man is not just good because his name is good man. I used to have one friend then. His name is good man. But it's not good. It's a noisemaker. Always making noise in the class. But his name is good man. In my class in those days, we always appoint the noisemaker to write names of noisemaker so that everybody the class can even have peace of mind, because this one, no matter what you do, he will make noise. So give him the paper, write. He will write from morning to night. The baby boomers controlled 12.5%. Can I shock you? The Gen X controlled 32%. Because when you begin to find people like a Mark or some of these, Mark Zuckerberg, I'm just talking about what is on the chart. I'm not talking about whether they are born again or not. I'm just telling you how the younger generation even have a greater capacity now to surpass those of us that call ourselves millennials just by having a phone. 32%. Now, there's a generation before the baby boomers. They refer to them in the silent and earlier. They are those old babas, but they are crazily wealthy. Please, when I talk about wealth, Being rich is just one element of being wealthy. If you are rich, it doesn't mean you are wealthy. To be wealthy means that you are rich on every side. They come to your family, people like your kind of family. They come to your business is doing well. They see your life, you are very healthy, you make very healthy decisions around your personal health, your commitment to God. When you say wealthy man, when the scripture says God will bring you to the wealthy place, it wasn't talking about money alone. The problem is that we chase money to the corruption and destruction of our soul. I'm not talking about becoming the richest man in the world. I'm just telling you what is going on now, so that when I enter my message, you will appreciate what I'm saying. Now, I want you to put this down. Every time you see a period of famine, prepare for wealth transfer. Everywhere you see a period of famine in the land, prepare for what? Come on, talk to me. Prepare for what? Prepare for wealth transfer. Instead of complaining and wondering when the world will be better, why not ask yourself, where has the money of the world moved to? The money has gone online. Recently, there was, not too long ago, there was a meeting by is it European Central Bank? Are you familiar with the European Central Bank? So they are the ones who coordinate the activities of the euro currency. And they said in that meeting that paper money is becoming obsolete. Are you with me? That paper money is becoming what? So when you travel to Germany and you begin to brandish paper note, they know you are from Nigeria. They already know, not like they prayed, they know. Because they already realize that this money, the more we print it, it becomes worthless. An average Nigerian doesn't understand how printing of money makes it worthless. For us, printing of money means you have more money. Abi, now, if I gave 100,000 naira, for you, it is glory to God. You have more money. But every time money is printed, it depreciates the value of that currency. So the European Central Bank said, look, we want to move to a digital form of payment. Now, there's a problem with that procedure, but I'm just trying to share with you the idea, how people at the top are thinking. So if the world is moving towards a digital form of currency, both in the USD, they already have the USDT, European coin, maybe anytime from now they come to China as a digital coin, and then you decide to go and build a factory where the whole world is moving away from. Is somebody listening to me, please? Please, is somebody listening to me? Because you keep praying and fasting, and God is telling you, you are in 1845. We are already in 2022. Let me give you a good example, because with due respect to one of our members in this church, Aliko, and the man S group, forgotten his name, Elumelu, right? Two of them got into the oil industry recently, right? One of them bought shares, Shell Petroleum. The other built a refinery from scratch. Do you know how much it costs to build a refinery? You must be rich. You must be so rich. You've not sold anything, no. Harvest World bought a plot of land beside Dangote Refinery. And they were telling us, Dangote Refinery, the value is going to go up. They are using Dangote to market us. Dangote doesn't know why his ear is always ringing in the night. When he wants to sleep, he'll be in because all those land agents are using his, they are using his name, Dangote Refinery. He's beside Dangote Refinery. I told myself I'll be serious today. Are you with me? Now, please fast forward just one step. Dangote belongs to the boomers generation. Now, fast forward to, Zuckerberg belongs to Gen X. Maybe millennials. Either millennials or Gen X. How many refineries does Zuckerberg have? You know, I'm saying this because when God's servant came a few weeks ago, he told us that the earth is the Lord and he has given it to mankind, not Christians. What that means is that if you understand the principles of how this earth works, you will be rich and your riches will be insured because you are a Christian. God will not allow rot and moth to touch it because that money is his own money in your hands. Is somebody hearing me? So you have an insurance. It's not that you should go and backside and be looking for money. Those who pursue money never find it. How many refineries has our brother Mark? He doesn't have anyone. Okay, which one did he buy? Did he buy any oil well? Now, if you combine S Global and Dangote, are they as rich as Zuckerberg? I said, look for where the wealth of the world has gone to. Go and stand there. Don't stand in the past. The whole world is walking away from oil. We are going to build oil wells, refineries. If you are, oh my God, God's servant made a statement when he came. He said anything close to the earth has very little value. Do you know that what that statement means? He said anything close to the earth has very little value. If you plant yam or potato chips, as you are harvesting it, because it's close to the soil, you go to Jos, they will carry an entire sack. How much do they sell Irish potatoes in the north? Huh? A bag. Maybe like 1, 2,000, 3,000? 5K. But when I go into the shopping mall in my area, I just pose in like a big man. Say, you're welcome. So I say, yes. Give me some money. I'm pointing my finger like this. You see, the thunder that will fire some people. you are pointing finger like this. When your mates went to Jos to bring that bag, I point my finger like this and they say it's 3,000 at Spa. I say, yeah, bring it. Then they look at me, he says he's wearing coat. Or maybe the coat is wearing him. They look at him and they say, this man must be a very important man. And they take the thing and they push it after me. And I say, what is it? They say, spinach. Okay, yeah, let me have spinach. You are pointing your hand. You keep that your hand that you are... May God not allow them to... Don't build your life on something the world has left. Do you know what's going to happen to Nigeria? Because our brother and our member, Aliko, is a friend of every government. So Nigeria will remain backwards. Because while the world is moving towards gas, Nigeria has a massive reserve of gas that they have not touched. They sit down with oil. One day, they will share the oil for everybody. We'll be drinking it. Take your morning quota. Say, madam, we didn't come yesterday. Take this yesterday's one and today. All of us will be drinking oil. For Christ's sake, somebody has already proven to us that you can have cars that don't run on fuel. As I'm saying this, I want you to be looking at the decisions you have been making. Peradventure, your decision is in the past. If you have a farm of potatoes, Irish potatoes, that thing is coming from the ground. The value is cheap. The moment I buy 10 bags and I convert that into potato chips, potato fries, or I start... what is... You begin to develop the value chain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then that same paint rubber of Irish potatoes, which could be like 2,500 naira, you will just have one thing, because you must buy something for your small children. You will buy 700 naira. And the thing just, you are looking for the chips inside the nylon. Then your children say, mommy, I want more. Then me, I am waiting. This is it. Mommy, your children enjoy it. But it's not free. And that I'm a pastor does not mean anything. I'm going to collect my money. So I collect the money and then I go to the bank. And I put the money there. Now, leaving your money in the bank is another matter. But for now, let's allow the money stay in the bank. Because in Nigerian banks, the chances that SMS alert and maintenance charge will not allow your profit to come out. They cannot do anything to me. I've left them. I spent many years explaining to customers rubbish. Say your maintenance charge. Actually, there's a... Some of you got tired. You stopped going. After you left the account for them. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10. Please stay with me. Because this is a long... It's a long message. I'll continue second service. See, let me tell you. Genesis 12:10. By the time we are done with this, some of you will be angry. You will be so angry. You will take your life in your hands. You will not depend on any freebie. If somebody calls you today and sends you 50,000, the question I should be asking is this seed or is this bread? You see, if you don't understand all this story, Turenchi, that I'm telling you people, you think you are laughing. Some of you have 300,000 has passed through your hands in the last 3 months. But because it's coming in bits, you don't know. Is that thing in your hand? Is it seed? Or is it what? Is it bread? And there was famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, and the famine was grievous. Every time you see famine, prepare for, ask yourself, why would an Amazon cash out of a COVID? Staying at home. The platform. The platform will not show up the day. You would have seen it and you would have prepared for it. And it will look like luck and occasion brought it to you. But you have always been there. When we begin to pray, we ask, Father, that which I cannot see, open my eyes, open my eyes. Some of you will be speaking in tongues. You don't, because you don't understand the prayer. T.D. Jakes was preaching. Preaching is a woman drinking pepper water. Nobody understood him. Nobody went to church. He only had 25 people in that church. In West Virginia, he said all of them will fall under the anointing. They will worship. They will sing. He said they even raised dead. Church did not fool. You would think that by raising the dead, people will go and call all their neighbors. Church members are wicked, though. They said the God that raised the dead will bring them. If it's his work, it will, you know, if the vision is from God, God will provide. He will provide, but he will use that thing in your pocket. You know, for every vision, there will be a provision. You are quoting quotable quote. Let us raise an offering to the Lord. He said, no, the Lord shall provide. He will provide through that thing you are hiding at your back pocket. That thing, bring it. That's how God will provide. You forget that when God was going to provide the animal for Abraham, he told him to look back. A look back is the back pocket. Bring that. You know, you keep 1,000 here, keep 500. He said, but here there's dollar. I say, bring that one. Your some people now they've arranged their offering. This side is 500. This side. So I say, give an offering. They already know. One day God will catch you. You will mix. You will put the 1,000 in the wrong pocket. As you just, Father, we thank you. Too late. Amazon, these are guys that are good men in the sense that they understand spiritual things. Go and look at, you may be doing something that is very great. How can you refine it and multiply the value? T.D. Jakes was preaching and doing the same thing for years, no result. Until one day he was invited to preach in a meeting because the guest minister did not come. Say there was a woman by the well. You know, the same old message. Nothing changes, but the platform changes. And let me tell you, one platform can change your life. One person. A platform could be a person. No? God just brings somebody to you. Huh? And tells you, this man, be clothing him, be dressing him up for the next 2 years. Don't let him buy clothes outside. That's all. And one day, he goes to preach. He says, ah, who is your designer? I say, ah, bring him to the UK. Bam. There's a show there. When God speaks, in time of famine, that's when we know those who can hear God. Abraham and his sons, all his sons, went through famine in their seasons. Joseph was in Egypt in the time of famine. And I'm telling you that every time you find that you are in a season of famine, it's because God is about to transfer wealth. So those who are not wise will lose their ground. They will be trying to protect what they think they already have. The smart person will move to a new web host. Move everything. Come on, say my eyes are open. There are so many things we are doing. We say it's the devil. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. The earth belongs to the Lord and he has given it to mankind. God, serving God is not the reason why you are not doing well. We need to clarify this so that we can build on a good foundation. There's nobody that watches Netflix from morning to night for the next 5 years that will be rich. Yeah. Because that time you used to be to be looking out for the latest film. If the way you are watching all these people, do you continue? When are we going to watch you? Have you thought about it? The way you are watching all these people, if they were behaving like you, who will watch them? When it's time for you to lay foundation and prepare the ground for your children's children, it's not the time to be fluffing around. If anybody gives you money, you must have a clearly defined amount of a percentage of that money that you cannot spend. Come on, somebody hear him. My friend drove his Jeep to my office and said, fuel finished. I told him he should park it and check. It's my friend. We used to preach together. I just should pack it and do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of us just, let me give you an advice. Today, as you go home, that your laptop that you've abandoned, go and dust it. There's something on that laptop called Microsoft Excel. Launch it. Then name the Excel inflow, cash inflow. Any money, including ₦1, if it's up to one, if it's up to ₦1 that comes to you, put the name of the person there and the amount and the date. After 6 months, check. Then tell yourself, 50% of whatever comes into my hand goes into that other bank that you don't have ATM for. Leave it there. Don't mind the maintenance fee. Just leave it there. Then come back. The moment God sees that your mental posture has changed from a spender and consumer to somebody who is preparing for something big, it will allow money to flow in your direction. Sometimes it is God and Satan that agree. Let's not give her money. You may not believe it. Because an average Nigerian is a waster. He's waiting to say, oh, I wish mama could see me. Which mama? This is... Which mama? Have you seen Jeff Bezos when he dresses up? His clothes is not cheap, but you know he's dressed for work. Somebody that doesn't have refinery and whatever is wearing t-shirt and jeans. He's dressed for work. You dress Baba Riga. How much is in that account? You know what they are saying? You give people the impression you have arrived, so they leave you. You behave as if you don't need help. Come on, say, Lord, open my eyes. Some of you don't know that you have something that God can use to change your life. It's called integrity. That if they need somebody that will tell the truth in this office, it's you. You don't know that it's something people, that many of those rich guys are looking for one trusted, just one. They won't look at your certificate, they'll just say, be the manager. Dangote said he doesn't have any house abroad in London. He said, but some of the people that work for him have bought houses in London. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to deal with this poverty mindset. You are not poor because you don't have money. You are poor because of your mindset. You allow what you wear to make you feel important. What did that doesn't mean? I could wear bedroom slippers for all I care, but your vision must be clear. Somebody hearing me? When it's time to change your clothes, you will know. You will know. Look at Isaiah chapter 45 verse 3. I'm going to round up here. I'm not done with this, but I'll just continue till we are. Isaiah 45 and verse 3. Don't forget what I said to you. The moment you reposition your life for accountability, not to be a waster, God will direct resources to come to you. Go and try it. Look at this scripture. And I will give you the treasures of darkness. God is saying to us that there are things he has hidden in the dark places. He has hidden resources, financial breakthroughs, blessings in places that nobody is looking at that direction yet. Nobody has even thought like, what if we bring a Tesla to Nigeria? They are hidden in darkness because people think it's not possible. It is in darkness because people don't think it will work. It's in darkness. He said, God said, there are things that we have kept in darkness because you people, your mind has not opened up to it. So when you pray that your mind should open up to what? To be seeing things the way God is seeing them. The father of faith was a rich man, was wealthy. None of his sons were wayward. So if you say, we are children of Abraham by faith, but what is the resemblance? If you say, if I have money, I will not serve God, it's not the God of Abraham you met. If you met the God of Abraham, money will be an enhancer for your relationship with God. Don't you feel bad when you see people on the road who don't have anything, you want to help them, but you don't have? How about now? Look at what the word of God says. He said, I will give you. Who will give? Who knows the location? That means the giving there is not that God will come and give you money. It will open your eyes. You will see the opportunities. You will see that they stay here. Something is coming. In the next 6 months, you have to be there. You must be there. That thing must meet you there. Because whoever believed there was going to be a lockdown for 3 months, and one man came out in Trilonia. Everybody sat at home. He too sat at home. But it was working. Whoever believed that in this same country, that people will work from home, that people will make their money, earn in dollars, working on their iPad, on their table. That dining table used to eat beans and bread. But is it happening now? Is it happening now? My brethren, open your eyes. There are treasures that are hidden in darkness. And it has no respect for age. It has respect for those with open eyes. Once you see it, it becomes light. Once you see it, it's no more dark. It becomes light. Once you see it, oh my God. Because you see, this is the thing. If I got this light by praying and waiting upon the Lord, I cannot walk away from God. Because I know that the next door that we open is still going to come from this source of revelation. He said, I will give you the treasures that are in darkness. Come on, say, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, please open my eyes. In the name of Jesus. He said, and the hidden riches of secret places that you may know. That what? I am the Lord. God opens our eyes to things like this to know that he is a rewarder of them who follow him. So you must create a bridge between your spiritual life and your administrative and your financial life. Because it's a strong bridge. Come on, somebody here now. He said, I will give you. I will give you. Lord, lift up your hand and say, Lord, give me. The treasures of darkness. Those things that have my name on them. But they are kept in darkness. They are kept in the dark places. Oh my God, it could be relationships. It could be business opportunities. It could be people you need to meet and talk to. It could be proposals and presentations you need to make. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. Let me see that which I need to do. Bishop T.D. Jakes spoke in a meeting, and all of a sudden, everybody was asking, who is this man? But I've always been here. I've always been here. I've preached the same message. I've shouted, I've wept, I've cried, I've done the same thing over and over again, but nothing happened. But when the state, the platform changed, and he was asked to preach the same message, and he said, woman, thou art loosed, thou daughter of Abraham, woman, thou art loosed. Everything he thought, that people thought he was a joker, now became these things we now know T.D. Jakes for. That when he preaches, he gets to a point, and the keyboard will be, bang, 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 bang. Ah, he said, this man is a crude man. 24,000. 30,000. Potter's House, Dallas. Potter's is the same madness. The same madness. The same madness. Because God opened to him one of the treasures of darkness. It's good to have a university degree, but it's not compulsory. The world has moved away from certificate to skill. Can you do it? Can you do it? Do you have the character for the throne? So your degree only brings you into the interview hall. At the end of the day, can you do it? Or you just crammed and got first class? You just cram. Oh my God. How has God given us hidden treasures? Number one, through revelation knowledge. My time is up. Oh gosh, please. Second service. Are you guys blessed? See, if you heard the message today and all you heard was, I will blow, there's carnality in your heart. If what you heard is that, I must blow before I die, you didn't hear this gospel, though. You heard something else. What? This is not a message for those who want to blow. It's for those who want to live generational wealth for their children's children. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll just give you one. How does God give us this hidden treasure? Through revelation knowledge. How do you get revelation knowledge? You get revelation knowledge in the place of prayer. My friend, God's servant that spoke to us 2 weeks ago, said he traveled to India. And when he got there, the Lord said to him, open unto me storehouses here. Open unto me storehouses here. He was a visitor to the land. He didn't know anyone. And then he went to the market and he looked at what was going on. And then they started a garment factory. Garment factory. The garment, they take the cotton, take the silk, they put it into a machine. The machine automates. It washes the whole thing, mixes the wool, and brings out the fabric for your suit. His company produces jeans, produces suit. But you saw him here on Sunday. He just wore one small native. How unfortunate can a man be that you look at someone like Adams? You now say because he didn't talk in. Is somebody listening to me? By the time you get to this level, you will never look at any man and assess him based on what he looks like. Because when you get to a level, the tendency is for you to hide more than to bring yourself out. Could you imagine a man? Do you know anybody who makes garments? I didn't say a fashion designer. I say makes garments that is below the age of 40 in Nigeria. Do you know of anyone? But this is a Nigerian and he went to hide his head in Jos. But his company is in India. And it gets report every day. God needs to open to you the treasures of what? Of darkness. Revelation knowledge. It is revelation knowledge that brings light into that which you need to do. When I was working in the bank, I was somewhere on the island. Then I began to feel very discontent. And I began to seek the Lord. I said, look, go back and finish your HR program. So I went back. I started studying. I got my project management from the UK, got my risk management, and all online. I went to British Council to write my exam. And I passed. When I wrote my risk management certification, I came out of that exam hall and I cried. I was driving back to the office and I wept. My wife called me. I couldn't pick. Because I could not imagine telling my wife that I spent all that pounds to go and fail. I didn't finish the exam. So when some of you say, hey, Pastor, go and sell your shoe. Go and sell that iPhone. God has given that iPhone for this day. Go and sell it. Buy something. Buy something that has WhatsApp. If you use your own money, you will manage it well. So I'm trusting God for money. You are not. Go and sell. Bring out all these clothes and shoes. Let's go and sell it, Banjo. I'm telling you. You follow what I'm telling you. 5 years from now, you will not be at this level. Then some people will not make that decision. They will still be at that same level. Because God is not a respecter of a man. God is a respecter of principles. I wept. A able-bodied man. I wept. I got back to the office. My boss said, how did it go? I said it was wonderful. But my wonderful was not wonderfully sound enough. But I passed. I didn't even want to know my score. I was fixing my tire at 5 a.m. on the road to the Victoria Island. The email just dropped. Hey, to open email became a problem. Your result is out. Hey. The man looked at me like, oh, guys, everything okay? I said, it's £300. When I opened it, even with my glasses, my eyes were blurry. But I managed to see successfully. The moment I saw successfully, the thing just clear. Progress is sweet. Progress is sweet. Even if you have plenty of anointing, but you don't look like you will make it, she will still say no if you propose. It's not everybody that is for. You can't blame an. You are a lady is born in a family, they struggled. She should come and marry you again, you are struggling, and then add to this generation of strugglers. No, I beg. If you are a brother here, hear what I'm saying, no? I'm talking to the brothers this morning. Go and wake up. All this fluffing around has to stop. Nobody's looking for you on WhatsApp. And nobody is looking for you on the internet. When you get to where you are going, they will internet come and look for you. Go and get busy. And very soon we are going to have a service, Pastor David. We'll bring young people here. Because sometimes when we talk, people think we are just talking. We'll ask young people here who are already doing things to come here and address us so that you'll be angry. I want you to be angry. You can do better. Say amen. Amen. But you need revelation knowledge. You can't be everywhere. Let the Lord order your step in that one place that you need to be. Can't be everywhere. You just say fashion. I asked one lady, she was standing there. I said, do you have interest in fashion? Say, yes. So I'm actually taking a 6-week course in fashion design. I say, eh? Those who are making it in fashion, is this 6 weeks course? Do you know what I'm saying here? Do you think it's 6 weeks course that you used to learn how to do fashion? Since that day, I've not seen her carry any thread or Ankara. It was a vogue. That thing was was in vogue there. Everybody like, no, I have my personal style. There's the way I like my. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. You are just imagining. You are imagining things. I say it is well. At least you see Swiss training. I say, Shakbarie. Just try and finish it. This one too. Everybody was doing fashion. Later, I was looking at Fatima. I say, these people will not let Fatima sell you. Everybody's doing fashion. All of a sudden, I noticed they started disappearing. Only Fatima was left. I say, the one with the skill and expertise will survive the storm. I said, the one with what? The skill and the expertise will survive the storm. It's not that you can swim. If we throw you into the ocean, will you survive? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive grace and wisdom this morning for everyone that is here. That, Lord, there will be a release of revelation knowledge. Clear directions where we need to put our effort, where we need to put our attention. In the name of Jesus, I receive grace for everyone to be established in their